No, I don't see an apparent conflict in the answer. As I understood the answer to the two issues is that it's part of the original planning process that will be taken over by the commission. In terms of any apparent land use issue decided by the commission, if it indeed conflicts with current land use, if there is a conflict, then the commission's land use decision prevails. There may be compatible or non-conflicting decisions.
I understand. My question is, why do we need a second bill if the commission's decisions are going to prevail? Why do we have to do anything with existing law?
Mr. Chairman, answer to Representative Eakins' question. In a sense, he may be right in terms of preemption question, but I think it's it behooves the legislature to spell out and to remove any cloud and to make that clear, plus to spell out, I think, clearly the fact that there is the balance of the county plan that's outside of the area. There's the city plans that are not affected by the legislation. And we think there's probably some questions about the adjustment of urban growth boundaries when you change the nature of the city. And I think those are subjects that will confound whoever it is that puts together the second bill and probably will be an interesting debate in this committee.
Might I ask you before I get to the other two, if you will pardon me a minute, and that is, even though you'd have another body, if we did not have this section in this bill at this point, but as you'd still have LCDC in it, because I think we're all troubled by this particular provision. What, in your judgment, problems would that create if we did not have this provision in this bill at this point?
Probably none, in that the department and the commission would stand aside and not try to get in the way of the activities of the newly constituted Gorge Commission.
Representative Johnson, thank you.
I thought I heard you say that the federal government would have, that there's a potential for conflict with the federal government guidelines for land use. Is that embodied in the legislation that established this commission and the whole area, or does the federal government have some kind of land use program that would have to be complied with? I wasn't clear on that. That's what I wanted to find out. Or is it back to this thing that I keep hearing, that the commission could establish their own guidelines, do anything they want, and it would preempt anything we might have in our books? Which is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the bill itself does not have any real specific guidelines like we have in our land use laws now. The commission, after it's established, will probably be doing those kinds of guidelines and specific land uses, within the parameters of the federal act. To the extent that those would conflict with specifics in ours, then yes, that's where your potential for a preemption type situation.
Commission actions supersede anything we might have in our statutes. Once their action supersedes anything we might have in existence at the moment. Is that correct? Or anything we might pass, even?
Yes.
Okay, now I think I...
Representative Parkinson.
Yeah, I got two or three little quick questions to try to help me understand this. And I don't know who to direct the question at. Maybe Jeanette, maybe Eldon. I don't care who answers it. But I think we've already decided that the goals of the Columbia Gorge Commission could be different than the goals of the rest of the state. Will the goal on one side of the river, it'll apply equally on the other side of the river?
Yes.
If there's a policy on one side, it's going to be exactly the same on the other side of the river. Okay, so that answers that. And I think today probably was the first that I've heard that Washington has only one bill. Maybe that's just a statement, but I was a little bit surprised at that when we were talking about these identical things we had to pass. But they're going to do theirs all in one. And then there's one other question, I guess. Now, as I'm understanding it now, inside the management area, not in the urban growth boundaries, but inside the special management areas and in the general areas of the gorge, they will have one land use policy that will be different than the rest of the state of Oregon. We'll have two in Oregon from now on, in other words. Is that a true statement? Sounds to me like it really is. You'll have one land use policy for the gorge. You'll have another land use policy for the rest of the state of Oregon. Is that a true statement, Ellen?
I think that's a fair characterization.
Okay. I'm getting the handle. Thank you very much, Mr.
Might we add, though, that would not be true, presumably, for those excluded cities.
That's correct. Yeah,
that's correct.
For the balance of the county, not included by the legislation.
Right. Yeah. Representative Ekus and Representative
I think I've worked this through now to where I feel real comfortable and understand, and it seems to me, as far as Section 6, that there's, you know, I would support keeping it in. There's no reason to take it out. There's no reason to have LCDC represent the state on in commission actions and decisions for which the commission is setting the policy. LCDC is not. And also now understand that there are areas that are excluded from the commission's control that will depend upon state legislation, which is our next step. So it seems, I mean, if this discussion is continuing because of questions I raised, let me let everybody know that I think Section 6 is that the bill is better with Section 6 in it than taking it out.
Okay, Representative Gilman.
Just one more, and then we're maybe through this one. The federal law provides for minimum size of a lot, I'm going to call it, of 40 acres. For a resident in some of these counties, and I'm not familiar with these counties and their particular zonings, I don't know what they've done or statewide rules, that minimum size might be smaller than that in some of those areas. So what we're saying is that it will be 40 acres or more. Is that correct?
John? Mr. Chairman, it's 40 acres within the special management areas. Only in those areas, not
only
the general
in
area.
Okay.
No, excuse me, that's only in the area that is managed by the Forest Service?
That is managed by the Forest Service, so it is not in the areas managed by the Commission. The special management areas are managed by the U.S. Forest Service. That's the area in which a residence cannot be built on less than 40 acres.
Representative Anderson.
Maybe we put that part to bed, or maybe we haven't, I don't know. But I want to go back to the public records type thing.
Let me before we get in that, Representative Anderson, to be sure that we've done all the discussion that we want to do at the moment on this issue. Is that?
I'd like to throw one more
thing out. Go ahead. Let's do it. Is that all right with you? Let's get this one resolved first. Go ahead, Representative Parkinson.
Mr. Chairman, that may be a question. I don't know who it's a question to. It's a statement. We're in work session, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking about how hard it's going to do to change our land use laws to conform to this thing, but from what I've heard here this afternoon, it doesn't look to me like it'll be hard at all. We'll just go through all the statutes that pertain to LCDC, and this managed area in the gorge would be excluded. I think it's that simple. They would have to develop their own goals, guidelines, and policies.
Well, let me ask Joan, I think, Representative Parkinson, as far as at least of the managed area that comes under the Forest Service, the answer to that would be yes, would it not? Yes.
Right.
Yes. The managed area under the Forest Service, the answer to that would be yes.
That's done right now as of today.
Our laws currently don't apply to that anyway.
The BISTEC Compact has no influence on that whatsoever.
Right. Okay. Yes. Diane.
Well, there is a representative here from the Forest Service, and we might want to get clarification there. My understanding, there is a timing issue here, that until you create the plan and do the inventories and so forth, existing state law would prevail. And we might ask the Forest Service to clarify that point.
Come on up.
I'm Gary Kahn. I'm with the Department of Agriculture, Office of the General Counsel. By way of background, maybe if I could take a minute and perhaps explain it a little bit better. What the bill envisions is a gorge commission that we've been talking about that would manage the entire scenic area with the exception of the 13 urban areas. The special management areas, the guidelines for the land uses within the special management areas will be prepared by the Secretary of Agriculture, by the Forest Service, transmitted to the commission for incorporation without change into the commission plan, which will be the overall management guideline. For the non-special management areas, which would be the ones with just not the cross-hatching, just the slanted lines, which are known as the general areas, it would be the commission's responsibility to develop the land use ordinances and the guidelines for development in that area. The bill does place some sideboards on that that the commission cannot deviate from. For example, no industrial uses, no industrial development outside of urban areas. But aside from the minimums and the clear restrictions in the bill, the commission will have the discretion to develop whatever they want in the way of land use ordinances, as long as they are deemed by the Secretary of Agriculture to be consistent with the purposes of the Act. Until the commission plan is in effect, which is probably some 4 years down the road, there's more or less a dual authority. The state land use laws apply, county plans apply. However, the Forest Service is empowered to determine whether proposed development is consistent or inconsistent with the purposes of the Act. We don't have approval or disapproval authority, just the authority to make a consistency or inconsistency determination.
Okay. Good point. Okay. All right. Are we ready to move on to the next item? And that's the records issue, which is Anderson.
That's right. I would like to ask the records. The public records issue is in the one that's supposed to be consistent with the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Would we be still consistent if we deleted that paragraph entirely and just didn't address it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, while I was gone, I called the Washington Attorney General, talked to Jim Johnson, who has been working on this with Michael Houston from our Attorney General's office. I asked him what they had intended by this paragraph, and I told him of your concerns. He said they did not intend it to be restrictive, that Washington has a very open records law, much like ours. And I told him about your concern with the authorized, and he said what they intended was for the commission to be able to, through their regulations or their rules, to adopt their own procedures. I told him that you probably would want to change this section because of the seeming restrictiveness of it, and he didn't seem to think that would be a problem because he agreed that it sounded like...
Janet, in that case, I'm sure the commission can do any rulemaking they want to do. I don't think we'd do any damage just deleting Section F.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Ekus. Did you want to respond to that, Jeanette?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we could do that. And
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I don't think you would be doing any damage because of the fact that you do pick up, by reference, the Federal Act anyway, which says that they'll adopt the most restrictive of the states. And I said that to Jim Anderson up at Washington. He said they would interpret that as saying the one that allows the most access. So,
okay.
Yes, I think you could do
Janet, for some of the people that are here, and I'm not sure I showed it to you, Janet, and you probably already discovered, but ORS 192.420 is very clear and it's very short. Every person has a right to inspect any public record of a public body in this state except as otherwise expressly provided in ORS 192.500. And it does give a laundry list of exceptions, of which obviously this is not an exception.
Right. So I do, you know, and I think that also I asked him what the status of the bill was in Washington as far as he knew at this point, and they did not pass it out of their committee, at least not yet.
Representative Ekus and Representative Berea.
No, I think that answered my question. I was only concerned if we made changes how we might, make.
Well, it might also indicate, if I'm correct, that we're not in, well, on this part, we're not in the,
yes,
or are we? Are we in the compact?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
A quick one, but isn't it assumed to believe that they're making changes up there, too?
Jim Johnson also informed me he telexed a new copy down to Michael Houston this morning.
All right, that's by Representative Berea.
In reference to Representative Anderson's concern, rather than deleting this subsection and by default having a statement on whether or not we want access to the public, we probably by changing the language to authorized person to simply say we would allow open records to the public, and that's just a suggested alternative. Then we would have a statement on it.
Okay, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Are you ready for any motions yet?
Let me ask first, are we through with our basic discussion so we know where we're at? Let me ask, we do have this LC draft. In terms of the mechanics, if we, say, delete some of this, we're not going to get any problem about moving forward with it. We have to adopt it in concept. Can you tell us, Jeanette?
You can adopt them in concept and send it out, if you trust me. And since I'm
all
here,
right, okay,
I've
got no problem with that if we do it in terms of what we're suggesting. If we delete something, you would know what we delete.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yes, Representative Anderson, go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, let's take them one at a time.
All right.
For discussion or whatever, I move we delete Section F of the compact. That's page 5, Section F of Article 4.
This is LC 2193.
Right.
Right. Everyone have the appropriate document we're working from at this point. LC 2193, that's the typed engrossed copy with the suggested amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Peterson.
Representative Berea just made a suggestion. I'm wondering if we might discuss that in relation to the what Representative Anderson just moved, that if this doesn't pass, that an alternative might be to add language or change language. And I'm wondering if Representative Berea could give us any language at this point.
You want him to suggest? He can do it as part of the discussion.
Just sort of generally.
Right. As discussion, I would say on page 5 of the proposed HB 2472-1 amendments, on line 12, after the word to, T-O, delete the remainder of the line, insert the public, and delete lines 13 and 14.
Okay.
And then if I may, Mr. Chair, ask one more question.
Yes.
If I can ask Representative Berea, is that, why is that stronger than deleting it? What does it do?
Well, I think rather than having the records open to the public under a default, by not specifying our policy, we refer back to ORS 192-420, I think we can, as a committee, make a statement that we want these records open to the public, and if there's any subsequent changes to ORS 192-420, they won't be affected by, they won't affect this bill.
All right, let's understand where we are. We've got a motion from Representative Anderson, and we've been fairly loose here, but I think that that's fine now because I want people to understand where we're at so we can get at this. We will ask the clerk to call the roll. If that motion fails, we'll then recognize you. And if not, we'll then go on to our other item.
Chairman, one more question, Janet.
Yes.
Please. Are we doing more damage by omitting it, or are we, or by Representative Berea's suggestion that we state in there that the commission should be open to reasonable times to inspections by the public?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I would, I guess, recommend leaving it in there with Representative
Rockies.
Jeanette, you took sides. I can't believe that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to yield to that
all
language,
right. Okay.
And I would
yes.
withdraw and again so move that the language that we delete after the word to, the word persons, and all of the next three lines, and after the word to, add the public in a period.
Everybody understand the motion?
Discussion.
Representative Parkinson.
Yeah, if we feel obliged to put something in there, why don't we have Jeanette lift a little paragraph out of the federal law and insert it, that the strongest shall prevail, or whatever. It's a short statement in there, Jeanette, in the federal law. What does it say?
Page 14.
It says the most restrictive.
It says the most restrictive,
yeah,
is it not,
the
Jeanette?
Terms, I think. I don't
the federal law, among other things, says the commission shall adopt regulations relating to administrative procedure and disclosure of information consistent with the more restrictive statutory provisions of either state.
Okay, anyone else on the motion? We do have a motion at this point that's been changed. Everyone understand what the motion is? All right, if the clerk will call the roll on this motion of Representative Anderson. An amendment to change the LC 2193.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Brea?
Aye.
Representative Ekus?
Aye.
Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Peterson?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair.
Aye. I think you did you leave out Representative Johnson? Did you call you?
I did vote.
Oh, I did vote. Aye. Aye. Okay. We have another motion. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to state that I personally, and you can discuss it later after this other motion, am comfortable with serving at the pleasure of the governor. And I believe that leaves us with Section 6, and I would move that Section 6 be deleted in its entirety.
Where is it? Section 6?
You mean Section 6, you know, page 6.
Section 6, page 6.
Yeah, 20.
This is having the governor.
No, this is. Oh, this is the LC.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Discussion, yes. Representative Ekus.
Yeah, I would oppose it because I'm convinced that there's no reason for LCDC, once the commission started, for LCDC to be the agent of the state in a commission in which the other appointed representatives of the state appointed by the governor are going to be serving, and the decisions they make are going to be the decisions, except for what we do in the second bill, are going to be the decisions that govern the planning of that area. I don't see where we should have LCDC actually there representing the state in a land use planning process that is really not under our control. So it makes sense to me to do this and leave it to the appointed members of the commission from the state, which is going to include representatives from the counties that are affected on the board. Or on the commission.
Representative Johnson.
Could I ask Representative Anderson, can you give us some specifics of your reason for your motion, because I'm a bit troubled.
Representative Johnson, Mr. Chairman, anytime we deal with ORS 197, and that's a very famous section, and it's to do with a large part of what this committee deals with all the time, anytime we put this in the main bill and creation of the Columbia River Gorge Commission, I think we are giving task blessing to it. We are moving down the road, and it says very clearly that the commission, Land Conservation and Development Commission, and that means the department too, I assume, is out of the ball game. And I think that's a significant move. And I think that we're going to be addressing that in the next couple of months. And I think we heard testimony from several individuals, from the commission itself, and so on, that it won't do any untoward damage to the bill by deleting it. And I think we just avoid opening up the real argument at this particular time by doing that.
Okay, is there a further discussion on the motion to amend? Now, clerk, call the roll. Everybody understand the motion to amend. Let us take out Section 6.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Brea?
No.
Representative Ekus?
No.
Representative Gilman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Peterson?
No.
Representative Sulla?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Well, I don't want Representative Anderson to be alone. I'll go yes.
There's your two for them.
Do I now have a motion? Do I now have a motion to approve the bill as amended?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Sulla.
Representative Anderson passed over by moving rapidly through the section that had to do with
the, whether or not we confirm those appointments by the Senate. And therefore, I would move that we return to the language in Section 2, Paragraph 2 of the printed bill.
All right, everybody take a look at that so we understand the language. Section 2 of the printed bill.
I believe it's Section 3 on page 6.
Everybody found it in the original bill. It's Section what, Representative Sowa?
Well, the one I have, it's Section 2, Paragraph 2.
I think on the OC amendments page, it's Section 3 on page 6.
All right, but we're looking at the original.
That's where I'd like to get the language from, is in the original.
The language, then, let's get this clear. The language of the original bill, House Bill 2472, says the appointment of commission members by the governor shall be subject to Senate confirmation pursuant to Section 4, Article 3 of the Oregon Constitution. You were asking that that be substituted for the language of Section 3 in the LC draft on page 6. Yes. Any discussion? Yes.
The crux of that would be that the governor cannot remove without cause.
That's our understanding, yes.
Okay, I think I'll oppose the motion because I have so much confidence in the governor, and I really kind of like the idea that he can remove someone if the body's paralyzed or not functioning or whatever.
Thank you. I can speak to the motion.
Yes, Representative Shaw.
Having been around boards and commissions for quite a number of years, I really object to a new governor coming in and replacing all of the members of a commission just because he's a new person. And it loses the continuity of the old commission and loses all the work they've done with their staff and everything. So that's the reason I make the motion.
Thank you. Anyone else on this motion to amend by using the language of the original act, original bill, I'm sorry? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bria?
No.
Representative Ekus?
No.
Representative Gilman?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Peterson?
No.
Representative Sola?
No, or yes.
No. The amendment fails. Do I now have a motion for the amended the bill with the amendment? We have at this point one amendment, the small change on the section with records.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Egan.
I would, well, what's the proper motion would be refer to Ways and Means, is that correct?
Yes.
I would move that we refer our amended version, or LC 2368. Dash one as amended to the Ways and.
No, we have to have approval of the bill first.
Approve it. Okay, that's right. I would move approval of it as amended.
And subsequent referral of Ways and Means.
Yes.
Okay.
We attach a recommendation to that at this point.
Well, I don't think we need a recommendation. If we approve the bill, we're approving the bill with the amended, as amended. And then the way it was referred to us, it will automatically go to Ways and Means anyway. But I don't know if we don't need to do anything else mechanically, do we, Jeanette?
No.
We simply have to have the record says that we approved it in the form we approved it, then we'll be referred. Any further discussion on the motion to approve the bill, House Bill 2472, in the LC version with the one amendment made by the committee a few minutes ago?
Mr. Chairman, I just like to state that I'll be voting no because I still disapprove of Section 6.
All right. Any further discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bria?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Representative Peterson?
Aye.
Representative Sola?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. congratulate the committee, and I want you to know I've earned my money today.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, but your efforts have been pockets.
Before you announce the vote or drop your gavel, now I've forgotten which committee I'm on. Minority Report can be one person on this committee, can't it?
You're not going to bring that up, surely.
Well, just tell me the answer. It is
the answer is, in terms of our current rules, it is one, yes.
Drop the gavel in.
We're done. Before the committee gets away, and I want to do two things before I and to do thank everybody for this. Let me apologize to Representative Ekus because we were originally planning to have a fairly substantial telecommunications discussion. I think some of the people in the audience that had come here for that purpose. We will continue that on Monday. We will have to make calls to get those rearranged. And again, we apologize for that. But before we do get away, Representative Ekus has several bills that are of interest to the subcommittee. And I think these were worked to a large extent by the Interim Committee on Telecommunications later on.
Well, they are the results of issues that were raised. The bills come from interested parties and not from the task force itself. They are bills that at our first subcommittee meeting, a number of folks, primarily the independent telephone